You got to play the welcome. We're on live now. There we go. Praise the Lord.
Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam. The life of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's Usama Dakdak from the state of Louisiana. And with us tonight, our producer and the wonderful co-host, Christy Johnson from Mississippi, next door to me here in Nabona, maybe about 200 miles. I have no idea where I am. I know exactly where you are, Christy, but I know you're close to me. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well, and I want to let everybody know it's Usama's birthday. Look, people are already wishing you happy birthday. Isn't that awesome?
Thank you.
But the other thing is, because it's your birthday, we had to have a problem. So if anyone is having difficulty hearing me or you through Blog Talk Radio, because we're on Blog Talk at the same time while we're doing YouTube Live, and I think it's wonderful that we can do that. But today, my connection wouldn't work, so we're going to do it anyway. We never let problems discourage us, do we, Usama?
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for all those for writing to me. Happy birthday. I am 52 years old today. 50, thank you. Call me mom. Appreciate it, sister. Hey, 52 years young, not old. From now on, I'm going to change it from old to young because they told me after 50, you need to take a year off. I said, no, I'm not going to take any days off. I just would say 52, 53 young until when the Lord takes me home. Come and take us all home. Well, thanks for Mark. Appreciate everybody who told me happy birthday. Thank you so much, guys. You are the best. And without you, I will not be here tonight. So, Chris, we have a very, very special program tonight, and I know the topic is an awesome, because guess what? We just did this yesterday as a talking on with Brother Evan. 4-hour show. We're going to squeeze it in 2-hour show. I don't know how we're going to do that, but... So we're not going to waste too much time because we need to get into it. Anything important, thank you so much for all the right me off again. Everybody else wish me a happy birthday. Guys, you are the best. Appreciate you. First time in my life I see so many happy birthday in 1 minute. Normally, people wish me happy birthday during the day, but not on a show. That's awesome. I don't want my head to get too big.
Your birthday hasn't fallen right on a Saturday when we were doing the show that I can recall.
Before, yeah, that's true.
Mine has.
No, we had it one time, I believe, or twice.
Oh, in all these years. Anyway, happy birthday, Usama. And I would sing to you like you always, you know, will sing to me on the show. But the problem is I don't want to. I don't want to sing.
You know what we did with all the money your mama gave you for the music teacher? You bought candy with it.
Sure, that's what I did. My mom never bought. My mother hated hearing women sing. She loved music and she liked to hear tenors, but she just couldn't stand listening to women sing. So I used to do a lot of singing when I was a kid, but she would go, "Christy, stop that."
Here's the deal. I want you to tell us quickly, within a few minutes, if there's something important happened last week, politically, before we move to our site, so we don't have too much time.
Yes, I do think there were a number of very important things, but one of the things that we're going to be discussing tonight is about this process of love jihad. It's going on all the time. And I did look up and share a number of, or look at a number of stories, shared some of the pictures that I found. And it was interesting because I found these stories about the problem with Hindu women in India. And of course, our friend has told us, and I think you guys talked about that, America, India, but one of the things that I want to share is this is a story about our United States border. And Panama, they caught 52 Al-Qaeda suspects headed to the United States. That's how many they caught in Panama. Just 52.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I don't want the liberals to hang their head on the pillow. There's only 62. I wonder how many 62 are already in America every day in the past.
Yeah. How many did we not catch? Right.
Exactly. So, American ladies, get ready. The beautiful, wonderful, handsome, loving husband Moses coming for you. If you are stupid enough to make that mistake, and I hate to use the word stupid because it is just a dumb mistake for an American lady to marry to a Muslim man. And I have briefly, I know, 100, more than 100. I'm not kidding you. I know plenty of Muslims. I've been doing this teaching now, ladies and gentlemen, for literally 20 years. Since I left my construction and went to school, that's when I started meeting with Muslims. I shared a story yesterday in Adam's Secret Channel with a Muslim man marrying a Christian lady in Indonesia. And I know that literally 20 years ago. And before that, I know many Muslim men marry Christian ladies in America. And they all confess, as they're going to hear tonight from two, with these two wonderful godly Christian ladies who made that stupid mistake in the back. And I'm not going to be a sugarcoating Islam as you have heard me in the past. I'm not going to water down Islam because it's the truth. And these ladies is a great hardcore testimony. And by the way, if I would bring a one lady or two, from now on, it would take me 5 years to cover all these women because I can get into hundreds of American ladies who marry to Muslim and foreign ladies from all over the world who marry to Muslim men. I know some German ladies who marry to Muslim men. I know some British ladies who marry Muslim men. And the same story. It is the same story. Some of them are just little with it. I know a mama of a son. Her son is a preacher. He's a Christian minister. As we can say, she lived with it all her life to honor God, to live with that man. And it was not a very good story. And I know some smart. They let it go by doing the divorce. And I know some could not divorce their husband. Sadly, they were killed before the divorce was final.
I do want to mention something because for some of our listeners and those that are watching us, they may have seen some of this happening on a very popular program called 90 Day Fiancé. One of the things that was happening on that program, because I had several people were telling me about it, I saw it myself, is almost every series they would start a new season, there was almost always a Muslim man who was being brought to America by a woman in the United States, a citizen who was bringing a Muslim man or attempting to bring a Muslim man to the United States. So you might have seen some of this on television, but that is just what was in this program. This has actually been going on for a long time, as you saw me said.
Well, love jihad. What a great title. I believe Brother Adam came up with it, or maybe somebody in his team. Love jihad. It is everything about Islam is deception. Even when we talk about jihad, it's still deception. So I don't know what to tell you, except that wake up. America, wake up, my dear friends, because if we don't wake up, we're going to repeat the same mistakes of others of the past. History, life in this world is a history. History is a continuing, repeating a story, and if we don't learn from other people's mistakes, we're going to do the same mistake. If we don't expose the problem of love jihad in this channel, and many other people will copy us to repeat this, we're not even putting a dent in this subject. Every channel in StreamYard and every ministry in every church does not talk about that subject. Maybe somebody said, well, you saw my hair yesterday. Well, shame on you if you did not bring 10 people to hear me today. Because shame on you we're going to talk about it the rest of the week and next week and the following week, because this problem will never stop until we awaken the West to realize that this is just the reality of what Islam is. As I shared with you before in the past, Muslims are taught not to take us as friends, but they marry our daughters, and some of them now, of these ladies, marry our men. And I wish I can give this man to speak, but sadly, I believe men are more stupid than any American lady who ever married a Muslim man. Why? Because men are so arrogant. They will not confess they did a mistake, they make a mistake by marrying a Muslim woman. And I got so many men who will not even talk with me anymore because they know they have made a big, dumb mistake and they will not admit it. So, anyway, Christy, anything else you want to share before we get to Brother Adam who is part of the program?
Well, I just kind of wanted to share that if you're seeing the pictures, you'll see some of the things, again, reminding people that Muslims do marry children, and that is not totally the topic, but we need to remember that. So you'll see the pictures that I put up there also of all of the women that are now trying to glamorize their appearance and how they project themselves with makeup. They don't wear really the true hijab in America. And I have a picture there of all these Muslim women from a university in Ohio. And you'll see that picture. And I want you to look at it. It looks like, you know, average American women in many cases. Some of them have just a scarf over their head. But this is how they're projecting themselves as Muslim women. And I'm wondering, are these already married to Muslim men? And we know the deception is that, oh, yeah, Muslim women can do anything that other women do. So you will see those pictures in the slideshow.
We need to have the pictures so we can play them here in our slideshow. So from now on, if you got any good pictures like this, please pass them to me or to Adam so we can put it as a part of our TV news. We're jealous because those on black don't help us, even though they cannot see us, but they can see the pictures, and we want to make some more,
okay,
more work more up with it. Okay. So, but you know what? Talking about these American ladies, I was talking today to our friend Danny, and I don't know if she can say something through Facebook or through YouTube. If she wanted to talk. I remember one time she was talking to some Muslim in the church, and some of the Muslim girls wanted to say something, and some of the leaders stopped them from saying what they want to say concerning something wrong with the Bible. Tell me if you are hearing me, you know what I'm talking about. Or I think of Ilhan Omar marrying her own brother.
Mm. Yeah.
Our congresswoman married her own brother for what, 5-6 years. She was not living with her brother, but she was marrying her brother to help him to benefit from the welfare system and all the other benefits we have in America for Muslims coming from Somalia or somewhere else around the world. It's all deception. It's all lies. It's making me sick that even when I expose what the Muslims do in Orlando, Florida, which is done all over the country. Guys, this is not a topic for one show or 2 hours. We can talk about that for the next 2 years. I'm not kidding you. I remember meeting with the FBI agent in my church, 2-4 meeting, and the third time I ended the meeting at the beginning. Because I simply asked them, have you done anything with the information I shared with you? And they said, well, you know, I said, if the meeting's over, I walked out of the office, which I was using in my church, and I walked out and said, it's time for you to go because they're wasting your time and my time. I'm talking about Muslim men who are married to Muslim women in mosques all over America without any license. They don't make license for these Muslim people for the hope that they can find another man for his wife or another wife for the husband. American dumb wife and husband to marry on paper to help these Muslim men and women to become citizens in America. It is literally Muslim people marrying in a mosque, living with their spouses as a husband and wife, but at the same time marrying an American stupid man and stupid woman on paper. On paper, they pay these American ladies or American men $300-$400 a month just to sign a piece of paper certificate of marriage that Muslim man
and his Muslim wife can become citizens by marrying dumb American operators. I declared it with the FBI, and they know it is true, but they will do nothing. So now that the couple marry on paper with other Americans for 3-4 years, they become citizens, or guess what? We are teaching them a good way to trick the stupid government of the United States of America. And now they're citizens, and now we can get the second and the third and the fourth wife. Many wives in America, many Muslim men in America, marry multiple wives in America. I know this form that police, as I speak in church, probably some of my own right. How do you know, sir? Well, I am right now involved in a case in North Carolina where a man is actually pregnancy 4 women in the same time. Wait a minute. How can a Muslim man pregnancy 4 wives in the same time? Well, he married an American lady, and he divorced her on paper, and he has 3 children with her, 2 children with her, and he go marry another American lady, and he divorced her, whom he also have 1 or 2 children with her, and he marries a 3rd American lady, and he divorced her, and he is now living with his 4th wife. But in the same time, he goes around to check on his children, whom he have with his ex-wife. And while he's there with his ex-wife, they are so smart, mean stupid, they sleep with them because, after all, sex is fun. Sex is good. So they are sleeping with their ex-wife, get them pregnant, while they only married to one. But in reality, before Allah, as Prophet Adam will share with you in a minute, he used to be a Muslim, before Allah, they're not doing anything wrong. They're marrying 4 wives. 3 are divorced and on paper only, because before Allah did know that he want to be with her, she want to be with him. They're stupid enough to raise more babies for Islam, for Allah, for Muhammad. And that is love, jihad. I don't know. Adam, can you hear me, bro? If you can come on in and start playing with us and lead us in this. This is your show, man. I'm just here as a guest on your show. So tell me, Adam, what do you have in mind?
Massive U.S. airstrikes, Afghan ground operations, and major Taliban offensives against the Islamic State group in Afghanistan. 1,400 fighters and family members surrendered to government forces between October and December 2019. This is the story of some of the 60 Indians who joined the most brutal terror group the modern world has known. Why they chose to go, how they reached Afghanistan, and what happened to them in some of their own voices.
The reason we moved was to live an Islamic life and under the caliphate, Muslim rule. But once we reached there, many of our expectations were not met.
When the widows and the orphans, they will be taken care of, and money will be provided for.
कोई अच्छा दर्दी होगा देखते हुए किसी जगह हमें करेगा अगर सही होगा फिर वापस करेगी ऐसे कुछ करके
The Indians took 3 routes through the UAE, Oman, and Iran to their final destination. The Afpak border in Momandara, Nangarhar province.
Adam started here. We're talking about al-Mujahideen, the fighter. Adam, can you share with us what's going on in this video so far?
So there were over 20 people that has been shown so far in this video who were involved in this kind of a jihad. They capture the girls, the Indian girls, either Hindus or Christians, both, and they try to convert them to Islam. Then move them to Afghanistan, saying that we are going to a country where we have caliphate. Brother, would you like to explain caliphate to the audience?
Caliphate is successor. We have, after Muhammad died, we have Khalifa Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, which means the successor of Muhammad, the political religious leader, the one who will lead the Muslim in the war, in the Islamic State war, and in the politics of the Islamic State. After Abu Bakr, we got Omar. After Omar, we got Osman. After Osman, we got Ali. And obviously, because of the huge change happened in the world, that Islamic State collapsed with World War One, World War Two. They were fighting literally with swords and spears until the West came up with the modern weaponry, which we have today. Obviously, now we are, the Americans are helping Al-Qaeda to have the new weapons, and we're helping Taliban to have the weapons. We just gave Taliban in Afghanistan, $90 billion worth of weapons, and we're selling weapons, and we're giving weapons away to all these Muslim jihadis. So now they're coming back to power, and they believe it's time to revive, to wake up the Khalifa, and it's time for the Muslims to take power and to be in control of the world. Now, they told these young girls, who are Christian or Hindus, that they're going to move to Afghanistan to live in this Islamic state, in the Islamic, under the Khalifa, which is a political movement which is going to grow, took over the whole world. So, okay, you marry a Muslim guy, you go to Afghanistan, maybe someday you'll be the famous lady or the famous husband who will rise up the Islamic State worldwide.
So this first lady that we are going to show the interview is Sonia Sebastian, who was a Christian, belonging to a Christian family in Kerala. And we are going to hear her statement once now that she is in Afghanistan. Her husband has already died, and she has a kid from that husband. But the thing is, you should know her voice before she went to Afghanistan first to realize what her voice was, how strong her voice was before you hear. So watch this.
We do some sins. We have to confess those sins to a priest. Only then you are forgiven. So I have to keep asking, why?
Adam, can you supplement? Adam, can you go a little bit early before the brother?
I just wanted people to know that she is giving her testimony. I want them to see her voice, the strength in her voice. Do you want me to show the whole testimony or just part of it?
Let's play with you
again. Bismillah. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Bismillah. They normally, Muslim imams, ladies and gentlemen, or Muslim speakers, they go for a long talk and they make, but because her Arabic is so poor, she cut it short and sweet.
She was taught these three sentences. That's what my belief is. She was taught just these three sentences.
That was it. So Adam, what I'm saying is, what they do to these Muslim men and women who just let whatever these religious Muslims, they teach them few words in Arabic. It's like a bird. What do you call the bird, Christy? Which
a parrot.
A beast word.
Parrot.
Okay, a parrot.
Yeah.
So they beat this word all the time, and they convince the audience that these are wonderful Muslim scholars. If they don't speak few words in Arabic, I mean, you listen to even some of the great Muslims in Arabic. I'm going to make a great to make them famous on my career, unless we have them to mock them. They don't even make a sentence in Arabic, right? They write the words of the Arabic language in their languages. So when they read the languages, they actually speak in Arabic. What do you call that, Adam?
I have no idea about it.
Well,
translation.
Translation. Thank you so much. So you read Bismillah, B-A-S-M-A-L-L-A-C, Bismillah. She said few words in Arabic, and now we know for sure she's a Muslim. She's a dumb.
And I felt sorry for her, as we're going to see in the end of our show. She is dumb. She made fool of herself by accepting Islam and believing Islam and embracing Islam, mocking Christianity without knowing anything about believing Islam or Christianity.
RJ's telling you the word is transliteration, and that is where you put English letters or your own native language letters. Yeah, right.
I'm a little nervous looking at such a big audience, but I must make use of this opportunity. So here we go. I'm Aisha. My hometown is Ernakulam. I was born and brought up in a typical Roman Catholic family, a family which goes to church every Sunday. We say the rosary every day. We have our family prayers. But from childhood, I had a lot of doubts. But religion. I used to keep questioning. I used to question about Trinity. You know Trinity, there's one God but three people in God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It never made sense to me. Also, if we do some sins, we have to confess those sins to a priest. Only then you are forgiven. So I used to keep asking, why confess sins to a priest? Why can't we confess it directly to God? So many people, I attended some retreats also. You must have heard about Divine Retreat Center, very famous. So I used to keep asking these doubts. But nobody really gave me any convincing answer. So for some time, I left it.
Yeah, very popular. She left Christianity because she has some questions and nobody answers. Maybe she should just read the Bible. What do you think, Adam? What's so hard for a Christian who has questions about Trinity? First of all, if she has questions about Trinity and the things of the Christian doctrine, that means she's not a Christian. Do you understand the fact? If you are doubting the Trinity, that means you're not a Christian because you don't believe in Christianity. We don't believe Christian is a person who
was born in a Christian family.
No, here's the fact. That's it, that's what it is. But if she has a question about Christianity and nobody even has she ever thought maybe to read the Bible? What's so hard for Adam, for you, Adam, as a Muslim, to learn about the Trinity, say, from first page in the book of John? What is so hard for you to figure out Christianity and the Trinity of Christianity from John 1?
Brother, if somebody cannot understand Trinity from the book of Hebrews, John 1 defines Jesus as Lord. Yes, absolutely. But the whole Trinity, concept of Trinity, if you cannot learn from Book of John, Hebrew, you don't even know how to read. That's what I'm going to say. As an Easterner, Paul has done a tremendous job. He picked it from every particular angle and moved it to the central dot. So it's a full circle and everybody is going to the central dot.
Yeah, but Adam, here's the problem. That wonderful Catholic sister, she does not even know there is a book. It's called the Book of Hebrews in the Bible. Now, I'm not kidding. I know plenty of Catholics and Baptists, by the way, so I'm not hitting on the Catholics, and Baptists and Presbyterian and Lutherans who do not know where is the Book of Hebrews. I'm not kidding. They think the Book of Hebrews is a book in the Old Testament because its name is the Book of Hebrews. Who would think?
Well.
Listen, Joseph, speak with me, Christy. Who would think the Book of Hebrews is in the New Testament?
Well, Yusama, this is a problem with a lot of Christians. They really rely on the ministry or the pastor or the priest to give them guidance, and they're not even thinking they should check these things out for themselves. That's sad. It's very sad.
It's a fact. She was never a Christian to be Christian.
Right.
I just want to say this. As a matter of fact, I guarantee you, if you talk to any Muslim lady who used to be a Christian in her mind, and she married a Muslim man, 100%, none of them were born again Christian.
Right.
None of them. Because if you are a Christian, filled with the Holy Spirit, and have the spirit of discernment, you will never hold a hand with a Muslim man, ask a Muslim man, or kiss a Muslim man, to love a Muslim to marry. It would never happen. Okay?
Let me move it to the town area where she is talking about Islam. think that is the part where we should actually go in now, right now. Let's play it.
Okay.
Only then comes everybody else. For example, if you take a decision, inshallah, to wear the hijab.
I'm not kidding. That is a sin to every foreign Muslim's prayer. When I was in Indonesia, I heard the inshallah from the imam preaching in the sermon, in the mosque. He has the microphones out loud. I mean, he's speaking in Indonesian for a whole hour. In the 1 hour, he said inshallah 20 times. And then alhamdulillah 20 times. Salaam alaikum 20 times. And the rest of the sermon are in Indonesian. As quite as he preaches in Arabic, I found that he does not know any Arabic. He has zero Arabic. And he said, inshallah. Inshallah, go ahead, sister. Go ahead, tell me more about it. Okay.
Then if you take the decision and your mother tells you, why are you being extreme? Your father tells you, don't do that, it's not required. Or your husband tells you, no, it's not required. I don't want you to wear hijab. You have no authority to listen to him. You cannot listen to them. The first person is Allah. He has told you to wear it, so you have to wear it. Don't think about what
father,
other...
Father, father, father. Fact is fact. You don't leave Louisiana. 20 years ago, made the same statement. Made the same statement. This is vulgarism.
Yeah.
They're taking this from one another. Dr. Zaha told me that her mama is an American, her daddy is a Muslim, Mr. Kirtner. That's a second refrigeration from a Muslim man. Her husband is a Muslim, and her husband told her, honey, I don't want you to wear the hijab. Keep your hair, it's beautiful. God make you be, I want you to enjoy freedom. She said, no. I'm not doing this to please you. I'm not doing this to please my daddy, who's a Muslim man. I'm doing this to please Allah. Nobody ever, boys and girls, who speak to the college now, nobody ever forced me to wear the hijab. My husband wanted me, the Muslim husband, not to wear the hijab. I'm doing this to please Allah. Nobody forced my foot. Forced my foot. But I can give you 1,000 cases of women not only were forced to wear the hijab, they were forced to wear the hijab. You know how? Muriatic acid on the face. So she, for her to cover the burning skin in her face and the burning air in her eyes, she must wear the full hijab, including the khumar. Literally, you can't even see her eyes because sadly her eyes would burn, was eaten by the muriatic acid. I know some Muslim ladies were killed in America because they refused to wear the hijab from a Muslim daddy. So BS, that she want to wear the hijab because she want to obey Allah, that's lying, B. Somehow it's like we have a video here. Everybody, you need to say that now. When you talk about the hijab, I'm not extremist. I just speak to believe Allah. Allah, my foot. Go ahead, bro. Go ahead.
Yes, brother. So I think we can skip the rest of her and go back to now. And she is in Afghanistan.
You get me excited, man. I want to hear the rest of her testimony.
Oh, sorry, man.
The beauty of it.
Let me put that up.
You know, I'm a
baby. Maybe we will go in the afternoon.
Yeah. This is the reality of how Muslims are making their testimony. I guarantee you, go online right now and see Muslims, Christians convert to Islam, or Jews convert to Islam, or Buddhists convert to Islam, or Hindus convert to Islam, whatever. They're all garbage liars. They know nothing about Islam to convert Islam. And they did not know anything about their cult or whatever they used to believe before they left it to become a Muslim. Right.
Jannah or Jahannam. So in this short life, we have to abide by the commands of Allah and not think about what other people think of you. This whole life is a...
None of Allah. But do you think, Adam, you think that woman here, know anything about Sharia, the command of Allah? Does she know anything about Islam to talk about the command of Allah?
Not at all, brother. But right now, she's talking about Jannah. Does she not know that in Jannah, she'll be just a like, servant of her husband?
If she make it, you're assuming that Muslim lady will make it to the Jannah. Why do I say if she makes it? Let me tell you what. Here's what Muhammad said. I'm not going to share everything. I'm just going to be a couple of things. Muhammad said, one woman of 99 women is in heaven, get the Jannah, this is this,
and the rest of the rest of them are in fire, amen, in hell. Muhammad said, as I stood by the gate of hell, I saw that most of those who enter the gate are women. From where she come up with the idea that she's going to make it to Jannah? Says who? Allah did not promise her Jannah. Muhammad never promised her Jannah. Matter of fact, read the Quran, my friend. You'll learn that every Muslim believer, when they die, they will go to hell. As Allah said in the Quran, وَمَا مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَإِلَىٰ. Every Muslim, when they die, they go to hell. Even as Muhammad, even you are a boss of Allah, is it even me? Unless Allah cover me with his mercy. If Allah did not cover Muhammad with his mercy, Muhammad will burn in hell. Muhammad said in the hadith is that his people, the Muslims, will be 73 denominations, like, you know, Baptist, Catholic, Catholic, you know, Muslim, 72. 72 will stay in hell forever, and only one of them will be removed from hell to the Jannah, to the garden. Abu Bakr Siddiq, first accepted, said he does not trust Allah and Allah's deception. Even if he has one foot in the paradise and one foot on earth, maybe Allah will trick him. How? To be taken from the paradise for hell. What is the paradise of Islam? Does she know now? Does she really think she knows anything about Islam?
Absolutely not, brother. You're absolutely right. And by the way, yudnayna alayhinna min jalabihinna. That's what the Quranic verse is. That put your clothes over yourself. And Ibn Abbas actually showed it by covering a sheet over him with one eye under the clothes and only one eye exposed, showing this is how you need to do veiling. Because in those days you didn't have...
One hole in front of the left eye. When we do our presentation, Sharia promised you we're going to cover this sentence, one sentence at a time. She's not a true Muslim right now because, I'm sorry, I can see her face. I can see her eyes. I can see her lips. You know how women can talk with their eyes? Watch this. That's winking the eye. That's true hijab. That's true fara'id of Allah. She's talking about the command of Allah. That she covered her head with another dress with a small high and hole in front of her left eye. Muhammad did not even know they're going to have this soft stomach which she can see through it. Okay? So we'll talk about that later. Go ahead.
All right.
Uh-oh. Okay. Something happened. Okay. Yeah. I was also texted a lot. It's not very easy to change your religion. It was very difficult at home. I had to break my mother's heart, my father's heart, all their expectations. My dad, he loved me a lot. My mother, she loved me a lot. I broke their heart. But what matters most is Allah. And so I was tested. Even now I'm tested. All of us, each one of you will be tested. I will be tested till our death. I'll tell you a small story. To put it short, we were waiting outside the doctor's office, that is me and my husband. We were waiting there and he called us in. So we went in. I'm sitting in the office in front of the doctor and he said, we tried our best, but your son has passed away. And my 7.5-month-old baby. And if I was a Christian, I would never have been able to come out of it. As in, if I was a Christian, I would never have come out of it. Now since I'm a Muslim, Alhamdulillah, what does Allah tell us to say? Alhamdulillah. And all this, I was thinking of my father when he lost me, when that is how it is for him. When I became a Christian.
No. She lost a baby. She lost a son. If she's a Christian, she could not handle it. Trust me. She will kill herself, or maybe she will curse Allah, the God of the Christian. But as a good Muslim, she thought to be a Christian. Wow. I wonder, Christy Johnson, do we have any women in the Christian faith. First of all, she was not a Christian.
Right.
She knows nothing about Christianity. But do you know, Christy, any Christian women who lost their children? Matter of fact, my favorite song, "It Is Well With My Soul."
Right.
The Christian who lost everything. Mm-hmm. Why? Not children, big down. And what did he do? He cursed God, the God of the Christian and the Jews. No. He wrote that song. And we sing that song all over the world. Almost, I know it in Arabic. You sing it in English. I guarantee you, it's in German, French, and Italian, whatever other language. I mean, there's been many languages. It is well with my soul.
Right.
You never heard that song. Go online. Christy, here's my question to you. Do you know any Christian women who lost a baby or a children, a husband, and she could not handle it?
Well, of course they were hurt, but, you know, the comfort that we have in the Lord is real if you have a true relationship with Jesus, if you're truly born again. So obviously when she's saying if she was a Christian, she couldn't handle it, is she was never a Christian. So that is the problem, as you said.
You know what that causes the BS of Muslim sharing testimony. I get fancy. It's just a line. Wasn't her testimony that she thought that if, every Christian lady she lost a baby.
Is there not a story that we have discussed before in Islam that you lost one child because they were going to grow up and be bad, so God will give you, or Allah will give you another one that's better. I mean,
it's
crazy.
Add something Sunni, as an ex-Sunni Muslim. For a very long time, I can surely tell you with the most authentic facts, even if our son or daughter at a young age died, we do a funeral prayer. As a Sunni Muslim, we do a funeral prayer. As the Shias, they do not. I was not a Shia. She is not a Shia. She became a Sunni Muslim. So she has to perform a funeral prayer. And in that funeral prayer, you ask forgiveness for the child, because Allah has created people for hell, jinn and mankind, whom He deemed fit. And Muhammad said in Sahih Muslim, Hadith 2662C, it says that when a child of an Ansari woman died and there was a funeral prayer going on, Aisha said to Allah Messenger, Allah Messenger, why are we doing a funeral prayer for this kid? He's a bird of the paradise, because he has not even reached to an age in which he could commit some sin. But you know what Muhammad said? He said, oh Aisha, it may be otherwise. Because Allah has created for paradise those who are fit for it while they are yet in their father's lines, and created for hell those who are to go to hell, and He created them for hell while they are still in their father's lines.
Wow.
So how does she have an authority to say such a thing? When the Bible says, Jesus said, these are kids, let them come to me.
Yes.
What's up?
Such as he said, the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
It's amazing. Thanks, Adam, for sharing that hadith. And it's a true hadith, by the way. Muslim cannot deny it. The Quran teaches that. It's all over the Quran. It is, Allah leads the tree whom I will, God whom He will. Surely I will fill hell with him and angels. This is the will of Allah at the time of the creation of Adam, before Adam had any children.
Yes, brother. And basically, in Quran chapter number 11, verse 119, Allah actually reassures His word and says, but the word from your Rabb will be fulfilled. What word? Force in force. I will surely kill the hell with men and the mankind.
But I would have been Christmas. Imagine this was me, ladies and gentlemen. You are a good Muslim or a good Muslim, and you have this great assurance that Allah will fill hell with many of you as a Muslim believer. Wow. That makes me feel like I want to be more excited about seeing the Shahada and become a Muslim. There's zero assurance. Listen to the end of our broadcast as we share the last word in this broadcast, which we repeat in every broadcast. Muslims have zero assurance for eternity. They are all, only Allah knows. Only Allah knows. But I know what Allah says.
Sorry, brother. Sorry. I thought you were.
No. I think I know what Allah says. Plenty of them are going to be in hell. 52% denomination will make it to hell, and only one will be removed. They all can go to hell. One of them coming away now. But which one? Allah knows. Allah knows.
And that is why, brother, when Muhammad, we as a Muslim, Sunni Muslims, we pray a dua after every adhan. So at least 5 times we pray a dua. Allahumma rabba habi da'wati ta'ama wa salatil qa'ima. Aati Muhammad al-wasilat wal-fazila wa darajat al-rafiyah wa ba'asu maqama mahmuda lillazi wa tawarzu tashfadu yawm al-qiyamah. O Lord of this prayer, on which we will actually stand and pray, offer prayer, give the blessing and forgiveness to Muhammad and give him the maqama mahmud, the highest rank in the Jannah, which you have promised him. So if Allah had promised him already that maqama mahmud, why the hell 2 billion people are praying and reminding Allah, hey Allah, Muhammad is already dead, forgive him and give him the maqama mahmud. Why?
Doesn't make sense.
Right? So if Allah has already pre-blessed it, why do we have to ask Allah to re-bless it?
See
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Anyhow, yeah. That's what
Muhammad is. Hypocrite. He loves me. He loved me a lot. And he's still not come out of it. He's not able to because he lived his life for me. They don't live their life for God. They live their life for their children, for their family, for the society, for their wealth. This is what they live for.
She's talking about Christian and her father that he lived for me. He has not come out of it. They live for their family and Christian. That's what she's saying.
But still, Allah teaches us to live our life for Him. I could come out of it. I could say Alhamdulillah from my heart. You know, Alhamdulillah, I have a son in Jannah. So this is what I have to say to you. It's not just when you're happy that you say Alhamdulillah. Even in every test, every, you know, what is sad, what you think is sad, is actually a very great opportunity to get closer to Allah. If you are patient. So always say Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khairan.
Jazakallah khairan. Okay. So what we have here, say Alhamdulillah, even when you go through trouble, when you watch it, because it's not in the Jannah. You have no clue, according to Islam, as we said a minute ago, you have no clue where is this son. Muhammad did not have a clue what he's going to be, even though Allah promised him. But Allah, the God of Muhammad, is the best deceiver. Let me tell you all what you are lucky here. And when you open your eyes for the eternity, you find out yourself in hell with your husband, with your son, with Muhammad. But Allah is the best deceiver. I mean, who can be set free from the deception of Allah? Adam, anybody?
No, but Allah said he is the Khairul Makari.
The best of the deceivers. So all that right, is her testimony. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now the beautiful part is to see. You have seen her wife. She's a well-educated girl. She married a Muslim. She became Alhamdulillah a Muslima, and she's very strong. Now she went to a country where caliphate is. Her husband died in a jihad. She has a 7-8 years old daughter, and we will see what she is saying now and what is her voice, vocal cords, and all that. Watch.
Notice the difference in the tone, Adam, between her testimony before the Sultan and when her dad is empty and his dreams are crushed. The difference in the voice, the way she talks.
Sonia Sebastian, my husband's name is Abdul Rashid. I have one daughter. Her name is. And I came to Khorasan in 2016. I had a good night, my husband. And once we reached here, many things we saw were not up to our expectations. We came expecting. An Islamic life, live under Islamic law, but many things were not up to our expectations. Read the
Salah. I wonder, what did you tell her when she's back home, when she moved to the Islamic, I mean, what expectations did she have? What is the Islam
or her baptism or whatever she used to think she's in, and she became, what the effect of a Muslim life? What is Islamic life? It doesn't have to be anything to do with Afghanistan or Pakistan. Just what a person converts Islam expects of Islamic life. They don't think that. They don't tell them that.
I will give you two verses, brother. And for a Muslim, these are the only two verses which are more than sufficient. Quran chapter number 33, verse number 33. Quran chapter number 4, verse number 34. And after that, a hadith of Muhammad, that when a husband will ask a woman for sex, she cannot say no, even if she is sitting on a camel and pregnant.
But Adam, she does not know. When she converts Islam, she did not know what Christianity is. And she never knew what Islam is. I said this in your program last night, and I have to say it now before I forget. Okay? For those people who leave whatever they think they believe in and become a Muslim, I don't care what they come. You mean a Buddha, and you found that Buddha is not the true religion, is not. If you're a Christian, found that Christianity is a falsehood. If you are a Sikh, and found Sikh is not kids people. But whatever you believe, it's not because what you used to believe was wrong. That does not mean automatically that Islam is right. Let me say it again. I'm a Baptist guy. I'm a Christian. I believe in the Baptist church and the Baptist belief. All my life, my father was a Baptist minister, and I grew up in that. They are alive at the age of 40 or 50. Man, then Baptists are dumb. Then Baptists are wrong. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing right in Baptist. There's nothing right in Christianity. That does not make Islam automatically right. I need to investigate Islam to make sure I will not spend another 40, 50 years of my life in a lie. The best man whom I ever shared the gospel with in Indonesia, in my second trip, actually my first trip to Indonesia, about the first trip to Indonesia. So that's where the preacher wife was crying. And I will share the story maybe next week, Mother Friday. And as I sat with that man, 70 years old, very smart man, not old, he's like late 60, I'll say 75, maybe 65. And after 2 hours of hearing me and him, we open the Quran and read the verses, saying here's what Allah says, here's what Muhammad says. He said to me in the end of the conversation, I know for sure, without any doubt, 100%, that Islam is a joke. Islam, the Quran, is a junk book, is a garbage. Without any doubt, he said, I don't believe in Islam a bit. There's no way, after I learned from you what I learned from that book, and the Indian book, I bought from your own library. I did not print it. I said, sir, I just got it from your library, from your bookstore. Go buy another one if you can keep it. He said, no. I've been a Muslim all my life, and I never knew anything about Islam because I did not care about sin in the Quran. So I shared the gospel with him, and I said, will you accept Christ as Lord and Savior? Was not. Simple, naive heart. I thought the man rejected Islam. He knows for sure Islam is false. He says, I'm sorry, and I will not accept Christianity that way. I said, what do you mean? He says, I have been deceived. For all these years in my life, I don't want anybody to deceive me in another life. I said, so what are you going to do? He says, I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to study the New Testament, and then I will make my decision after studying that I will become a Christian or not. I said, you are the best man I've ever met. I said, my recommendation to you is this. While you're reading the truth of the Word of God in the Bible, please, please keep reading the Quran and study the Quran. He said, no, I don't need that. I said, no, you ask. You know why? Because I want to make sure that you know for sure that you did not leave the truth, because if I sit with you for 2 hours and make it out, maybe somebody else will sit with you for 2 hours and bring you back Islam. Study both Islam and Christianity. So when you leave Islam, you know for sure that you left a cult, a savage cult, and when you become a Christian, you know for sure you believe in the truth of the gospel. You will never hear a Muslim woman like this one or any other man who became Muslim. He said, oh, I studied the Quran. I got so scared that they repeat lies. They repeat lies. I will share the story about the lawyer who became a Muslim. Or the engineers who became a Muslim. It's a comedy. It's a comedy. Anyway, so I stop here. So you cannot tell me, because what you believe is wrong, that automatically means other things right.
But at the same time, I feel sorry for her, what she's saying, because she can know. Check this out.
different things. So this is kind of a disappointment. And so I'm assuming that many people who want to come are coming with the same expectations, but that is not what the reality is. So I would suggest everybody to rethink their decision and think carefully before doing anything. And now, what I want is I want to return to India to my husband's family. I want to cut myself off from everything that has happened. And give my husband a lot of money. So what I have left is only my husband's family. And now I wish to return back to India.
So Sonia, Sebastian, to Aisha. And then this is a Hindu lady, but we are going to go back to this lady later. She has a part of her testimony over here. I'm going to play that part because that's a very important part as well. This is a Hindu lady. We're going to play that later. Yeah, check this part out. Sorry. I had to jump forward over here.
Excuse me. What is the message you would like? One reason many people move to Islamic children basically, it is not, they were not motivated by slot and that is all one side, you know, maybe saints will be motivated by this thing. Mainly it is to live an Islamic life.
So brother, now this is the part I wanted to play. Live an Islamic life, don't go to an Islamic state. What does that mean? What does that mean?
Living the Christian life without believing in Jesus and the teaching of the Bible. It is done. That shows me that Jesus knows nothing about Islam. I'm sorry to say that. You know, when I saw her first part, I was angry at her. When I saw the second part, I am very sorry for her. I'm really, my heart is broken. That's why I pray for her, looks like. She's going to go back to live with her family, her Muslim family. Not her mama, whom she broke her heart. Not her father, whom she put her face to the ground. Not go back to Jesus as a brother called daughter. No, she's going to go to her family, Muslim family, and she's going to be a Muslim, but she's not going to back to Islam. But I don't know. Well, you tell me, how can you do that? How can you live as a Muslim without breaking Islam? They do that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, her statement is a contradictory statement. Like, she thinks the Islam that has been told to her in India, which is a liberal country, a secular kind of a government, that in Islam in that country is actually right Islam, and the Islam in the Afghanistan where the Sharia law is a bad Islam.
This is the problem of all the Americans who become non-Muslims in America. Why? Because they believe in our culture. Propaganda Islam.
Right.
I call it hogwash Islam. I call it deception Islam. I call it love and peace Islam. You know what? Let me share this. This is a lawyer. You know what a lawyer is? Look how many books behind me here. He read thousands of books. A lawyer. A rich lawyer. He had a house worth $2.5-3 million. Who became a Muslim after his wife became a Muslim. I'm not going to get into detail. I mentioned his story. Something happened between me and him and his son, whom he adopted against Islam. He has dogs against Islam. He adopted another son against Islam. He's doing everything in America, which is the opposite of Islam. But there's a story about him and his family, his dad and his wife, his two, his one son. I wrote in my volume one or volume two of the book about the revelation of terror, something, one of the two. He has the book. Just look at the info. There's the info. Five sentences in his office. And I'm not kidding you. He has a book. This big. This big. How many pages does the book is? 124. 128 pages. I told him, I want to share with you about Islam. He's sure. Honey, grab the Quran. She grabbed the Quran. 7-8-1. A very blessed woman. Very successful people. Very rich people. Very educated lawyer. He goes to trials and he wins cases. He got the book 120 pages. and he thought, after being a Muslim for years, that this is the Quran. I said, my friend, look at the book. I said, no, this is the Quran. This is not the Quran. This is not the Quran. Okay, go to Quran chapter 9 and read for me verse 5. You look at the book and you go all the way to the back. He says, there's only 4 chapters in that book. I said, the Quran has 114 chapters. Just stick with me, Adam. Stick with me, Christy Johnson. Smart lawyers who win cases, they argue cases, he go to trial before jury and judge, he's a Muslim for years, and he's written a book about Islam, and he told me the man who left in Islam said to me that this is all I need to learn, this is the Quran, about Islam. Somebody help me. Somebody help me. How can a lawyer say that? Let me give you another one. An engineer, 35 years engineer, does 3 years after September 11th. Right, 3 years after September 11th. So he went to a friend of mine's house, a friend of mine in a house which exists in Orlando, Florida. He's married to a Syrian Muslim lady. He's an American engineer. You know what, engineer? Somebody who finished high school diploma and then studying more to be an engineer, okay? Not just high school. Trust me, he has more education than high school. And then he's telling me how he became a Muslim. He went to that house. In his mind, he's thinking, he's going to lead us to Islam. Like that lady in her first testimony. She was talking to thousands of people. Why? Because she shared her testimony. Why? Because she wanted to lead them to Islam. Inshallah. Alhamdulillah. Okay? If Allah will, then I pray to be God. So now, he went to the house, surprise, surprise, that I am in that house, to share the gospel with him. So I asked him, how did he become a Muslim? He said, well, after September 11th, I was so angry. I was so mad. I hated the Muslim people. I hated Allah, and I hated the Quran, and I hated Islam. So I bought the card in the Quran, and I decided to read it so I can destroy Islam. Good, good people. I read the Quran one time. I read the Quran the second time. I read the Quran the third time. And I fall in love with the Quran. I said, you did what? I fall in love with the Quran. You see, you love Islam, even though I hate the Muslims who destroyed Islam on September 11th. Wow. What do you love about the Quran? He said, it is the most loving and peaceful book. I said, what Quran were you reading? He said, Yusuf Ali. Yusuf Ali is at this time, I did not have my translation. That was 3 years after September 11th. So I opened my bag and I got Yusuf Ali from it. I said, you mean that book? He said, yes. Because the nigga long story short, he looked at this book, front and back, front and back. I'm going to hear the entire testimony with you in another book. And he put back and forth, he could not find one verse, teach love or peace. I asked Sister Rafat, he's from Morocco, a Muslim. I said, Rafat, have you ever studied the Quran? Have you ever read the Quran? We have 10 people sitting in the room. He said, you found me. I memorized the Quran when I was 12, 9, I don't know, whatever year. She was young. He said, have you ever, when you know the Quran, have you ever found a verse in the Quran? Teach love and peace. He said, no. I asked another couple from Iraq. You were Muslim, became a Christian. The answer is still no. Ask another friend from Lebanon. The answer is still no. All these Muslims who left Islam because they studied the Quran and because they found that the Quran is the most savage book, full of error, many contradictions, doesn't make any sense. They left Islam because he knew Islam, and that engineer, like the lawyer with a small booklet at 120 pages, 4 chapters, they believe in Islam because Islam is love. Islam is these are the Muslims who know nothing about Islam. They just reject Islam because they're deceived by the lies of the da'wah, the people who give the da'wah to them.
Well, you're absolutely right. I want to show one more small testimony of another person. And then I think we have two guests who would like to speak over here as well. So let me show another one of them. Her name is Nimisha. Now, the first one that we showed is a Christian girl who converted to Islam. Yeah, this girl is a Hindu girl who converted Islam. So my video is stuck over here somehow. Because the internet is not giving. Okay, there we go. So, this is the other girl. Just want to show her cover page first as well. Yes. So this is Nimisha, who is now Fatima. So if I let's start her video, I'll show her clear picture as well. Check this out.
You know, the thing is, see, when there was a khilafah, when I was a mom, but happy at that. So I can never say that Nafa is not wrong, but it is first wrong. That I can't say that because I had a comfortable life there. So now the situation is different. And I have no idea what is happening because I told you, even today's date, I didn't know. I don't know if there any place at all or nothing. There is no, if there is no place, we are all here. At this point, there's no point in doing this. But at the same time, I can't say that when there was a khilafa, we shouldn't do khilafa. That I can't say.
Khilafa is there even now.
No. Now, see. Now it's not there, right? Now we are all here. We are all here.
Now khilafa is still there. Just that you are not in khilafa.
No. See, there was khilafa in Pakistan, you wouldn't be here, right? That wouldn't be there, right?
You just
left
even before that was
taken. Yeah, because it was, most of us knew that this is supposed to, this is going back.
This is a national.
So brother, that's the thing. They are confused, they moved there, they just do not know what's happening with them. She is a Hindu girl describing her story. And look, this is her. This is her. Look at her, this beautiful lady that the God has created with sari and all. And look at her on the right side. You see the change, how she just simply changed. This is the previous one that we showed. This is Sonia Sebastian that you just saw. And there is another girl that we know, which is in this video, but I don't think we have enough time to run. This is Mariam Jacob, who became Mariam, right? So maybe we're going to do another one and we'll show that. But like, but seriously speaking, as a Muslim man, since birth, I can tell you for sure, woman has no right. They're supposed to stay in the house, as Quran chapter number 33, verse number 33 says, stay in your house, do not go out until or unless it is absolute necessity. And men have all the right, a degree over them, a daraja, over the woman, and that darja gives them the right even to beat them. And Quran chapter number 2, verse number 228 also says, the man has a darja over the woman. And this is the reality.
Above the woman, we did this. The Lord of Allah, you cannot deny. But what's happening is, when they convert them to Islam, they're not teaching them. But you can leave every belief in the law. You are convinced whatever you grow up, all your life is wrong. You will never believe in Islam if you know Islam. And the proof and evidence is this. Those who know Islam, like yourself, we got thousands of testimonies, imams who left Islam, mufti who left Islam. No kidding. Why they left Islam? Oh, because they found that Christianity is true. No, because they found Islam is false. I get videos of sadly hundreds of thousands of Muslims who have become an atheist. Sadly, they did not leave Islam because there's something good in Islam because they found nothing right in Islam. If the Muslims are leaving Islam, how in the world are these people who never even read a chapter or a base in the Quran, who do not even know what the Quran looks like? Lawyer, engineer. Remember when I took that engineer and I quoted in the following surah. إِنْ أَكْرَعَكَ بِشِدٍ إِنِّي أَرْغَبُكَ قَتْلًا وَإِنِّي أَرْغَبُكَ أُرِيدُ ذَكْحِكَ وَشَرْبُ دِمَائِكَ His wife, she was sitting, I know you're laughing, his wife, she was sitting, she's from Syria, and she was I wish you can tell him, don't say that. Because I said, I want you there. I want you there. I would love to cut your throat and drink the water. He said, it's beautiful. He said, the Quran is the Arabic language, is beautiful. And then you learn what's in it. Let's take a break. When we come back, we have two dear sisters who are going to be talking with us. And I want you to hear their heart. This is not a full interview for neither one of them. I'm going to take a break. When we come back, we need to talk with Sister Sharon. And she's going to tell you. I don't know what she's going to say. God is my witness. I have no idea what she's going to say. My question to Sharon is the same question to Connie. Is this. Tell me about your marrying that Muslim husband of you. Was it a great experience? Did you love it? Did he fulfill whatever he promised you before he married you? Did he told you, I'm going to beat you from now on and become a Muslim, I'm going to marry you? And he said, yes, or he told you the sweet stuff. I don't know. I never heard it. Neither one of these testimonies. Why did he marry the man they married, and if they were satisfied with their wonderful relationship with their Muslim husband? It's not a foreign interview. I'm going to have Sharon, and I'm going to have Connie for a long time to share their story. So let's take a quick break, and we'll be back after this with this true testimony. They left it. I did not. You did not. They know what they're talking about.
I think I have some problem with my internet. But let's try this one.
For the last 1,400 years.
Okay.
For the last 1,400 years, Muslims worldwide have considered only one book to be the perfect, complete, and inspired word of Allah, the Quran. In fact, Muhammad claimed that his only miracle was the Quran itself. But is it a clear miracle of God, or is it just a confusing deception of man?
Over and over, Allah states through his prophet in the Quran that the Quran is a clear book, a very clear revelation. Easy to understand, but is this true? Can a Muslim or any reader who reads the Quran understand the truth about subject as the creation, the life of the Prophet, or even the life of Jesus?
Scattered throughout the Quran, Muhammad records bits and pieces of information about famous biblical characters such as Adam, Abraham, Moses, David, Jonah, and even Noah. But this information is disconnected and fragmentary, contradicting the Bible and even contradicting itself.
10 years ago, the Lord put on my heart to write a book about exposing the lies and the errors of the Quran. But then we have faced another problem. All current English translations are corrupted. The English translator who translated the Quran to the English language hides many of the errors and the mistakes of the Quran from the English world. Then we spent several years to produce an accurate, modern English translation of the Quran. And with that completed, we then began production and have now finished our latest project, exposing the truth about the Quran.
In this powerful new two-volume set, you will discover one of the most thorough and comprehensive critiques of the Quran available in print. First, all of the references to important topics such as creation and the stories of the prophets scattered throughout the Quran are collected together into one place. Next, we examine the writings of the most respected Muslim scholars as they seek to understand these confusing and contradictory passages. Then, we demonstrate that Muslim scholars were forced to abandon the Quran and that they had to turn to the Bible for the true and authentic histories of these events in their futile attempt to reconcile the two. Finally, this comprehensive two-volume set proves that Muhammad contradicted the Bible and that the Quran repeatedly contradicts itself as it discusses these important issues.
It's time for the West to know the truth about Islam, to know the truth about its so-called prophet Muhammad. The Bible clearly teaches, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We must know and expose the darkness, the danger, and the deception of Islam, not only to protect ourselves, but to bring the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the Muslims who we love.
For ordering and more information, please visit thestraightway.org. individual copies, and case pricing is available.
Well, thank you. We'll come back for the next, time is flying. I thought we were cut on off. We wouldn't even have an hour. We have a good 45 minutes, I believe, whatever time we have. I don't know, Christy, can you get our sister Sharon on the line? And Sharon, if you can talk to us, just share with us your story in few words. As I said before the break, we will have you back to tell the long story. I know Sharon is right now working on writing her book. She's writing her story to tell the West about marrying your Muslim husband. So,
okay. Give me a second, Usama. Sharon, I am going to ask you to unmute your mic. And just say hello, Usama, so we can make sure that he's hearing you. And if we need to add additional volume, we'll try to do that. Okay? You ready, Sharon?
Yes. Hello, Usama.
I can hear you very well, sister. Go for it.
Oh, boy. I met this man online. He promised me the world. And he delivered nothing. It was the most horrific experience of my life. And, didn't know it. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I heard what you said, but here's my question to you. I don't want to give details if you don't want to give details, but was he an educated man or just somebody with a high school diploma or? Where is that in the line of education?
No, he was a dentist. He's a dentist. He's educated.
Very educated man. And does he know Islam or he's a foreigner Muslim? Does he speak Arabic? Which country is he from?
He's from Egypt. He claims to know Islam, but I highly doubt that. I don't know. He wasn't a practicing Muslim.
Yeah, a Muslim doesn't speak it. Did he tell you? I'm asking this question and I never know the answer yet. So the guy, I'm not playing a drama here. I'm not making drama. Did he tell you that he's the true Muslim believer, practice Islam, and he is going to make you wear the hijab and he's going to beat you lightly, means he's not going to break your bones, and he's going to force you that sex was then at his convenience, if you're tired or not, if you're sick. Did he tell you any of these things about Islam?
No. I mean, he told me, of course, that he was a good practicing Muslim. He did not tell me all the negative things that were going to come with the marriage, according to Islam.
Can you share with us some of the things, one or two, or whatever you can, of the good things which he promised you or which he shared with you about Allah and Islam and being a wife of a Muslim doctor? Go ahead.
You know, honestly, I can't recall. I just know that he just promised so many things. He promised, an easy life, and, he promised servants, and he promised so many things to me, which, wasn't really important to me. And that I would never have to worry about anything ever in my life. And of course, it was quite the opposite.
Well, can I ask a question? Were you a Christian, meaning not go to a church? I know a lot of people go to the Baptist church, and I know a lot of people go to the Catholic church and every other name of a church. I know nothing about Christianity. Were you a born-again Christian believer in the Bible and believe in Jesus strong in your faith? And you just found that Christianity is not true. That's why you joined Islam. You met a Muslim man.
I would call myself a Christian, but I did not understand Christianity at all, which was the reason why it was so easy for me to go to Islam.
Can I ask a question?
Definitely.
Were you thinking that Muslims and Christians basically believe in the same God? So there wasn't going to be a problem of you having to change much?
Yeah, you know, I did think that there was some similarities, but I also knew that there were some differences. As in, you know, the woman must obey her husband. She has no rights. Well, they say you have rights. I shouldn't say that. I didn't know that prior.
So what did you find out after that, you know?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I found out that Islam is nothing but hell. the woman is treated horrifically. She is not worth anything. You know, as Islam groups women with cattle, I felt that I probably wasn't even at the level of an animal by his treatment.
Yeah. That's sad. Were you converted to Islam, or you just marry a Muslim man and you stay as a Christian?
Oh, no, I converted to Islam before him. I probably converted to Islam. Yeah, I was a Muslim before I knew him, probably nearly a year. On my own, not because of a man, just because of my confusion.
Okay. This is a question for you, if you don't mind. Did you study the Quran before Shahada, or you said, you know what, I will learn as about Islam as I go? What did you study Islam and learn the Quran before you
became? You know, I took a class at the mosque. I read some of the Quran. I read some of the Hadith. Unfortunately, I fell for the brainwashing of the Islamic way.
How long you been a Muslim before you left Islam?
Let me see. It was maybe a year, year and a half maximum. It was probably within a week of my marriage that I was done with it. I no longer wanted anything to do with Islam.
How long have you been married to your husband?
It was nearly 6 years.
So you married your husband for 6 years, even though you left Islam. How did he feel about it? Did he say that's okay, you don't have to be a Muslim?
Oh, he didn't know. I just refused to do anything, to pray, to live that way. He did not like that. I was beat for refusing to pray. I was tortured in ways that are just horrible.
Very important question. When you prayed as a Muslim, did you know what you're saying in the Arabic language, what it means in English? When you prayed in Arabic. I understand that. But did you understand what you're saying in your prayers?
Yes. I actually, I had an English Quran, which, of course, we know is not correct. They're translations. I knew what I was saying, yes. And I learned to speak it in Arabic, but I also knew their translation of it.
You memorized your prayer, I'm assuming?
Well, I memorized parts of it. I did not memorize all of it.
Well, anything else you want to share with us before we let you go? And as I promised my audience here, we will have you for a full show. We're going to go in depth. We're going to go into anything else you would like to share. And what advice do you have for an American lady who is thinking right now to marry a Muslim man?
Oh, run as far away as you can. Get away. It will be the most horrific thing you will ever do if you marry a Muslim man. You will regret it almost instantly. Run.
Can
run
I
away as fast as you can.
Yeah, can I ask a question, Usama, because I really want to clarify and know that I understand this. So you, on your own, Sharon, you converted to Islam and you were led into understand Islam by going to a mosque where they had classes. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay, and after you converted, it's logical that you would be thinking you wanted to marry a Muslim man. Is that how this started?
Exactly.
The reason I want to know that and I asked you that is because I hear that you've got this recruitment going on to find, literally, to find American wives and create American Muslim women so that these men can have wives. And there's tons of Muslim dating sites online. I've seen them.
Right. Yes. So, yeah. Yes, of course. I became Muslim. I studied for a while, and then yes, I wanted to marry.
Yeah, and that's a sad thing that's probably happening to a lot of other women right now as we're talking. So thank you so much for sharing this.
Thanks, Sharon. Appreciate you. I do not know if Brother Adam has a question for you. I'm not going to make you stay any longer. I appreciate you, and I really thank the Lord that now you are a believer in Christ, not because somebody tricked you to Christianity, but I know that you are in a godly, conservative church. I talked to your pastor, and I know that the day will come and we'll have a great ministry. Reach out to lost American ladies and even just Muslims in general to let them
yes.
know that they are.
Yes.
Adam, do you have any question for this sister before let her go?
No, brother. Thank you so very much. I will just pray for her and may the Lord keep her safe. I can see the stress in her voice already, and thank God that she is out. But like I can see when she is talking about that, she still gets stressed.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm with her. I mean, I still sometimes when I think about my past, man, it's crazy. Praise Lord.
Brother,
that
I know so many things about her, and this question I asked to the wife, it is a genuine question. I did not know the answer, but I know more about her. If you know, you will be in tears for her. And
mm-hmm.
she has shared with me, and maybe she's going to write in her book. I know for sure she's going to write in her book, or maybe she will share it with us when we have her for a full interview. Sharon, God bless you, sister.
Yes.
I want to pray all the people who are watching us right now and those who will be watching this podcast as long as they will allow it to be on the internet, that all of you pray for our dear sister Sharon, that the Lord will encourage her spirit, lift her up, and be the God of her life, the God of her soul, that she will not have any difficulty anymore with this bad, terrible, worst experience a woman can ever have to marry a Muslim man. God bless us. Just appreciate it. Well, I know we're going to have Sister Connie. And if she is ready, Connie, I know you. I know your heart. I met with you, and I met with your husband. What a wonderful, sharp woman. Man, she's like a man, but she's actually a woman. No, so she's not a man. Tell me about the met with you and what's going on.
Well, it was at my first job. My first job, I was 16, and I worked for Wendy's, and I met him. And, you know.
Hmm? When you were a little girl. Okay.
Yes, I was 16. Very naive.
Were you a Christian, a believer in the church, reading the Bible?
Oh, no, sir. No, and that's what I would rather address is like the parents. You know, God instructs us to raise up your children in the way that they are bent, you know, their gifts, their callings. And that's what my dad did not do. He prayed with me. We got baptized all together, me, my brother, my dad. But not training me in the ways of my gifts and my callings, you know, as a baptized young girl at 14, you know, so I would encourage the parents to really raise your children up, you know, in the admonition and fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
and find their gift.
You have a very, very good point. Discipleship is very important. It's not just for little, but for everyone. There are plenty of Christians who became a Christian in the church, like the seed which fall in the little bit shallow dirt, and then they die. The tree does not grow. You need to go in a good solid and a good ground, and it will be discipleship to be grown up. We have plenty of Christian churches who do not know Adam from Eve. Somehow, they're just still drinking milk all their life. Now, tell me about when did you marry this Muslim man?
I got married once we were pregnant with Alan. So I was 20 years old. I left my dad when I was 17 and lived with him, and then we had Alan. And then that's when we got married, once I was with child, with our son. So I went from knowing him at 16 and then pregnant when I was 20 and leaving my dad the next year after I met his dad.
Did you ever convert him?
No way.
Did you ever believe in his mom? You ever see the Shah? Oh, no. You ever believe a Muslim Christian community?
No way.
Why not?
And he wasn't like that. His parents wasn't like that. They didn't wear that. He had 12 brothers and sisters. They all went to college. And they were raised in Syria, so they were of the family, the Sunnis, where they didn't wear the hijab or anything like that.
Not every Muslim, not every American married to a Muslim man who was, practicing Islam, his mom and his sister wore the full hijab or whatever. So there's some Muslims there which we call American modern Muslims. Was he like a nice husband to you, love you, and cherish you?
No, he was pretty empty. You know, once the his veil, his covering of being a nice guy, a sweet guy, once that fell off, real soon, he was very empty inside, just like a blank piece of paper, actually. He would be, talking with his friends, being all happy, and then once we got home, he would shut down, just wouldn't even talk to me, nothing, and I was a talker, and I learned real quick, well, okay, I'll just do something else, once we get home. Yeah, it's pretty lonely, yeah. Oh, yeah, big time pretend. That's a good word to put it, Osama. He was a pretender with his friends, but then inside the house, he was just empty, the empty vessel. Mm-hmm. He still is.
Yeah, that's a sad thing. Because our soul cannot be to herself except with the Lord, Christ himself.
Amen, brother.
Some people are filled with money. Some people are filled with jobs. Some people are filled with prestige. But a lot of this can satisfy your soul. If you are thirsty, any food will not satisfy your thirst. And if you are hungry, no liquid will satisfy your hunger. Your soul cannot be filled and satisfied except with the Lord of the soul, Christ himself. So this is a pretty normal. For any person, if you are a Christian or a Muslim or whatever, unless you follow Christ and the Lord of the Bible, nothing will satisfy your soul. Emptiness is a natural thing for humans. I don't know what question Crystal would like to ask you, or maybe Brother Adam. I want to give them a chance to ask you a question. Guys, be nice to our guests. First time will be nice to them. When we have them for a phone interview, I want you to smoke them. Make them. What question you would like to ask Connie? Our lady,
hi, Connie.
Hey, honey.
Well, I wanted to know what you might say about your experience. Do you think some of the issues that, you talked briefly about with your parents or your father and leaving home very young, did that kind of leave you vulnerable to be looking for somebody and this person seemed to be the one that would be perfect for you. How did Islam play into that? If you could explain that.
Islam didn't. He did. He wasn't. He wasn't like religious at all. I mean, he would do his baths at times, and at times he wouldn't. And he would say he was a bad Muslim because he didn't do, certain things. He would do his Ramadan. He would fast, but he would shove his. He would wake up at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, and stuff his face, before he can't eat when the sun rises. So I saw a lot of hypocrisy, and little by little, it just started turning me off to the man. But Islam didn't really fall into place. So he was, full, born in Syria and everything. But the Quran really never came up. He didn't like the Dawah people. We met him. They came to town, and one was his cousin, and he didn't like them to him, But he didn't want to have any part of that. I think his family had kind of saw through a lot of the religiosity that some of them has fallen into, just being religious and trying to gain followers, and he didn't like that,
So that's interesting. I think, because I think it's important to, I guess probably the most important thing for someone who is a Christian to realize you're not going to have a Christian marriage with anybody who is not a believer. And even though this person may have seemed like, a good person, or you were attracted to them or whatever, the things that, you didn't know about him did not come up until after you were married. So,
and especially after we had Alan, I think he changed his diapers 5 times in 2 years, it was a very eye-opening. And that's what I told Usama, when I spent some time with him and my husband, that you really find out about a man once you have a child, because he's going to reveal if he's selfish, if he's not willing to lay down his life for that little baby and you, and be a part of that family. And that's what slowly started causing me to see more and more who this man really is. Very selfish, very self-centered.
How long have you been married to him, Connie? How long have you been married to your husband?
Me and Ron? With the ex? Well, I was with him for 17. We got married when I was 20. And then I left when I was 23. So then it took like another 2 years, because, he was trying to kidnap him. And all that. So it took another 2 years to finally get the divorce. So I was with him from 17 and then left him when I was 23. So that's 6 years, right?
And by the way, Islam, in Islam, they have to clarify this for our audience. If a Muslim man would like to live with an American infidel without marriage, there's nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, he does not have to marry an infidel, a Christian. You don't have to. It is whatever your right hand possesses. A Christian or a Jewish or whatever you believe as a lady, a Muslim man can have you even if you are married. I'm not joking. Quran chapter 4, verse 24. If you have the moment, Adam, if you can put that verse for us, Quran 4:24. A Muslim man to be involved sexually with a married woman, that is okay in Islam. So don't think that, he's not practicing Islam. He's a moderate guy. He does not really care too much about Islam. Therefore, he can live with me and say, I'm not a Christian. He's not a Muslim. No. When he pretends to be a moderate Muslim, meaning he does not really follow Islam, when he involves with you sexually, as we read here in the verse, okay, and married women are not, except, you have to read the previous verse. The previous verse said, Muhammad said in verse 23, Here is a list of all the women Muslims cannot be involved with sexually. And then he has, and asks it, here, right? It's forbidden for you, your mothers, your daughters, your sisters, and your uncles, and your, I mean, your aunts from your mother's side, and your mother, your aunts from your father's side, the daughters of your brothers, the daughters of your sister, and on and on and on. All these are forbidden. Now you go to verse 24, and the married woman are also forbidden, except, here's the exception, whatever, وَمَا إِلَّا مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانَكُمْ, except what your right hand possesses. Why this verse was given? Because Allah told Muhammad an answer for a question who was asked. You see, the Muhammadans, the followers of Muhammad, his companion, attacked a people, a village, and the men ran away for their life, and they left their wives in the village. So now they took all these women as concubines or slaves. The Muslim men did not feel good about being involved sexually with these women, especially when they know their husbands, and they know that their husbands are still alive. So they told Muhammad, oh, Muhammad, what should we do? Should we, release ourselves by ourselves? Or what should, wait. You guys, take it easy. Let me talk to Allah. Hey, Allah, Jibreel, would you tell Allah? I got these good followers of mine, and they got these women whom they're married. Their husbands run away. They are in our right hand. They are our possession. What should we do with Jibreel? Jibreel went to Allah, gave back my, okay. So Muhammad got the answer. What is the answer? You're not supposed to be seen with these married women, except if they are in your right hand possession. So if you're a Muslim, if you're an American woman, an infidel, married or single, a Muslim man can be involved with you sexually. He does not have to marry you. He can marry four free Muslim women, an unlimited number of concubines. And say, we'll find that Quran chapter 4.
Verse 24, and this is Surah Al-Mu'minin. This is Surah Al-Mu'minin, chapter 23, verse number 6, 5 and 6, and it says, abstain from sex except the ones you married and your right hand possess.
Oh, ma malakat iman. But can you go to Quran 4, 3? Quran 4, verse 3. I think where Allah gives them the right to be married to 2, 3, or 4, and for all, whatever is the right hand of them. Okay? Here we go. Exactly. So it's Quran chapter 4, verse 3. So what I'm trying to say here, not because he's a good Muslim, he's not jihadi, he's not practicing Islam, that means, if he involved with you sexually without marriage, just mean he's still practicing Islam. He could be a Muslim imam who knows Islam very well, who knows these verses are sharing with you tonight, and he will fall in love with you and move in with you in your house, or you move in with him in his house and be involved with you sexually, even though you're not married to him, and you say, oh, you know what? This guy's a good Muslim. I mean, he's not an extremist, you know? He's not a radical. He's not going to force me in the future to beat me or make me wear the hijab. You know what? I know of cases where Muslim men did that, and then they told this American lady, if you're not going to become a Muslim, if you're not going to wear the hijab, I'll divorce you. They got paper matched for the reason of, you know, becoming
a Muslim. That would be a great blessing for them to say, then bye. And the thing that they hold back is until they have children, then they could put the ultimatum and try to keep that woman there.
And Connie, and that's why Muslims in America are fighting for Sharia. We'll talk about that later. Why Muslims in America wanted to practice Sharia, not against the Americans. They'll tell you, these are Muslims to Muslims. I want to divorce my wife. And according to Sharia, I said, honey, you're divorced. She's free and I'm free. We don't have to go to court, hire a lawyer, spend thousands, 20,000, 100,000 money's worth. I just want to do it the American way, the Muslim way, which is you're divorced and divorce over. And American women, Muslim women and Muslim men are begging us in our courts in America to allow them to do that. I'm a Muslim lady, married to a Muslim husband. I want to do it the Islamic way. You want to divorce me? You think you're divorced? I'm free. No, sweetheart. What you don't understand, that you want to practice Sharia in divorce in our court of law in America, because they're looking for the day where a Muslim man has 3-4 babies from an American dumb wife whom they help, the Muslim lady, the American lady helped this man to become citizen. So you marry a Muslim man, You make him a citizen, he has three or four babies. When he divorces you, listen to the rest of the law. Yes, he can say to you, you're divorced and the marriage is over. But your children belong to him. Your children belong to the people. That's why you really emphasize the complexity, the early stages for Sharia. And if we allow Muslims to practice Sharia concerning divorce, that means we allow them someday to practice Sharia concerning killing Americans who became Muslims and left Islam, like our dear first interviewer tonight, Sister Sharon. And also, there will be practicing Sharia concerning, say, beheading the Christian for being infidels or whatever else. In Sharia, it just goes stages.
That's exactly right. Little by little. That's why you stand up against that and you don't look back. You put your hand to the plow and you keep on going.
So
there's a reason why Jesus said certain things.
Did you ever feel like as a Christian you had an obligation as a Christian to stay married to this person? I've wondered about that because...
Oh, no.
Okay, all right.
At that time I was about 6 months before I left. God had me reading the Bible, and he took me to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I was learning really quick. And I realized that he was married before, so he did the, you're not my wife, you're not my wife, you're not my wife to her. So I realized that I was already basically in an adulterous relationship with him, though I was married under the law in America. You know, so I was free to be released from him, all the stuff, and even my dad said it as well, and I wasn't even asking. He says, then you were never married to him, because he was married to that other lady, according to the eyes of the Lord.
That's really good, and I'm glad that you said that. I've dealt with a lot of women who have been victims of abuse, and because of their Christian background, they're thinking that
leaving is
evil, mm-hmm. and they have to stay. Mm-hmm. So,
we are called into peace, remember?
Absolutely. Well, no, I
we
understand it, but I'm
peace.
Saying that
mm-hmm.
is a big hazard for a woman who has a Christian background to become married to a Muslim.
The enemy uses that against
absolutely.
Them. Uh-huh. And that's why I quoted that. It said, we're called in peace. And I have ministered to women like that. And men, Christian men also, they have that strong burden, stay with them. We watched them for, 10 years just dwindle down to almost nothing. And we kept on telling them, you are called into peace. And it's a hard word to give because it is talking about a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
But God is, the peace of God overrides that.
I think Jesus said that God allowed divorce because of the hardness of men's hearts. And I said, that was a mercy. That was a mercy because there is something you cannot overcome when someone's heart is hardened against you. And when you have no fellowship in Jesus,
Question for Sister Connie. What if a young lady comes to you and she says, I love Muhammad, or I love Ali, or I love Mustafa, and he's different. My story is not going to be like your story. You have a bad story, and many people have bad stories, but I really love my fiancé, and we're going to get married, we're going to have a happy life. What do you advise her?
You can't really force anybody, but I would let them... know what Islam is all about first and be educated about Islam, and the bottom line is you're going to eventually see who this man is.
the veil is going to come off and he's going to really expose himself. I mean, because for me, I noticed like the last 2 years that I was with this guy that God was just literally washing my heart from all this fake love that I thought that I had for him. It wasn't love. It was fake, you know.
Yeah. Well,
educate yourself, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree with you, Connie. You have any questions? Go ahead,
Brother, you stated something about these Muslim men wanting Sharia, and they are not going to put Sharia at once. They are going for partial. And I'm sorry to say, I'm going to play something, if you allow me, of Joe Biden, what he said. There was a time when I used to like him. Thankfully, Lord has opened my eyes. So
no, we forgive you, Adam.
Thank you, sister. We forgive you for that.
Hadith from the Prophet Muhammad instructs, whomever among you sees a wrong, let him change it with his hand. If he is not able, then with his tongue. If he is not able, and with his heart. So many in their own communities every day, joining your faith and your principles, the American principles that are consistent. Actions that make life better for your families, for your neighbors, your service, advocacy, preaching peace. You deserve to have a president and an administration who will work with you and support you in these efforts. Not try to scapegoat your community or advance xenophobic political agenda back in Muslim communities. If I have the honor of being elected President of the United States, together we can work to right the wrongs and see our world, see it better with our hearts, our hands, with our folks.
Now, brother, the thing is, I know you have to say a lot, but because he stated this hadith, so I'm going to show it to the world, the difference which he was not told. So he said, whoever sees wrong. If you go to sunnah.com, it says, whoever sees an evil. But the problem is, if you read the Arabic, it says, man ra'al munkar. Whoever is doing munkar, who is a munkar, who rejects the Islamic Sharia, who rejects what Allah and Muhammad says. So basically, by this definition, if somebody goes to a shop, and I'm not saying go and buy alcohol, but I'm just giving you an example of America, because he's the president of America, where every nation lives. So he goes and buy a alcohol. As a Muslim, following the hadith that he mentioned, he has to stop him with his words. If, to begin with, he has to stop him with his hand. And if he cannot punch him and kick him, he has to at least say to him, shout at him. And if he cannot even shout at him, say to him, he has to at least think that it is evil. And this is the worst of and the weakest of the faith. Brother, what do you have to say?
Wow.
I have a very important topic here for a good hour. But quickly, I say, this is the hadith of Muhammad to encourage the Muslim believers to perform jihad. And that useful idiot, O Biden, is quoting something he does not know what he's talking about. Some Muslim wrote for him, and he's dumb enough. He did this. There was no reason for him. He's going to get the vote of every Muslim in America. They voted for him not once, maybe 10, 20 times. So he maybe gets 10 million votes from the million Muslim men who can vote in America without asking them to do that. But he is, like previous Obama, is bowed down to the Muslims. Obama is physically bowed down to the Saudi king. Now, O Biden is bowed to the Muslims and says, we are going to give you America. We are going to stand for you. And the stupid thing is, the stupid Democrats of America and the rest of America did not know what O Biden is talking about or what is the agenda of the Democrats or the giving of America to the Muslims. It's exactly what it is. Today, Muslims are for O'Biden and for the Muslims who run into office all over this country. Tomorrow, they will be for Islam itself. which means they will change this country by their hand. Sharia and jihad will be breakfast in America. All what we need to do as Americans, just sit relax, sit back and relax. Don't worry about everything. Everything will be fine. Just vote Democrat, and the Democrat will load this country with more votes of Muslims to the Democrat Party. See, the Democrats think they're using the Muslims to stay in power. But what the Democrats do not know, they are used as useful idiots for the Muslims to take over America. And God help. And God help. Our time is up. I only have 1 minute. Any word from you, Christy, before I close our show?
Yes, I want to just say there's a comment in there that some Christian youth are misguided by Muslims due to a lack of knowledge about Islam. Absolutely, and we'll do a show about that because this is on the shoulders of Christian ministers who are leading them to think Muslims believe in the same God. So,
Is this the reality? If a Muslim tell you, we believe in the same God, say, hey, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I did not know you worship Jesus Christ. He said, what? We worship Jesus Christ. Our God is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He declared himself the triune. Do Muslims believe in the triune God of the Bible? No. Therefore, they don't worship our God. As a matter of fact, if you believe in Trinity, go to Quran 572 and Quran 573. If you believe in Jesus to be God, and if you believe in Trinity, you are an infidel. And Muslims are ordered by him, Allah, the devil, Satan, to behead you. Quran 47:4. So when you meet those who became infidels, the Christians, fuck the neck until you have made a great slaughter among them. Adam, thank you again. I appreciate you, Sister Connie. Thank you, Sister Sharon. Thank you, Christy. Thank you. God bless you all. Our time is up. We'll see you again next Saturday. Same time, same place here on Revealing the Truth About Islam.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend with heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death?